inside the paradise. So that is for which the Imam titled the hadith Tariqul Jannah, the path to Al-Jannah, because it was a simple question. Will I, if I do so and so, will I enter Al-Jannah? Say yes, you will enter Al-Jannah. So it means all of what the companion asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he does it, he will actually enter the paradise. So that is the path to Al-Jannah. That is the means to attain Al-Jannah. So here Al-Imam al-Nawawi used to say this hadith. He said, An Abi Abdullah, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhuma. So again, the kunya of this companion, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, is Abu Abdullah. Jabir ibn Abdullah is Abu Abdullah. So it means that he named his child after his father, who was called Abdullah. So one from this benefit is one can name his child after his father. In fact, one can name his child after himself. He is Abdullah and his son's name is Abdullah. From among those who report narrations that Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar mentioned in his book Taqrib Al-Tahzib, not less than 21 bear the name Abdullah and their parent is also Abdullah. So you see, Abdullah ibn Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Abdullah. From amongst those who did that was Abdullah ibn Umar. He had a son whose name was Abdullah. Abdullah ibn Umar. He had a son whose name was Abdullah. He also had Ubaydullah. So he had Abdullah, he had Salim, he had Bilal, he had others. Radiallahu anhuma. So a man can name his child by the name of his father. And you will not call that child junior, as it is common. When people name their children after their parents, they usually refer to such children as junior. Or they look for another name and append it to the child. They can call him Tunde, because they don't want to call the boy by the name. So if you didn't want to call the boy by the name, why did you give him the name in the first place? Why not give him that Sunday and let it rest like that? Baba, come again. So that name itself has a problem in the Sharia, because it is from the belief of reincarnation. It was the dead father that reincarnated. So no serious Muslim, no Muslim what the name should give his child that kind of a name, Tunde kind of thing. That the child came again, the father came again, the father reincarnated. So you, the Muslim, you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, or Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and you are still believing that somebody reincarnated. If you say you don't believe that, theoretically, your action has said that you believe it. That is by naming your child by Tunde kind of thing. So if our children bear the names of our parents, we should not call them by other than the name. If it's Ibrahim, let the boy bear it as Ibrahim. And if the boy has also been named by your name, it is not also wrong that your child bears your name. So if you are Ishaq and your child is Ishaq, call the boy Ishaq. So it's going to be Ishaq ibn Ishaq. Is not wrong. A long list, one of which was a companion we mentioned, Abdullah ibn Umar. His son bore his name, Abdullah. So he's Abdullah ibn Umar. In fact, you can find Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Abdullah. Father, son, grandfather. So it's not wrong in our Sharia. And it is not strange. Our Ummah is known with it. Bearing the names of giving our children the names of our fathers and giving our children our own names. So here, Jabir ibn Abdullah is Abu Abdullah, and that is his kunya. So his father, Abdullah ibn Amr, is also a companion of the Prophet Muhammad. And the name of his mother is Unaysa. The name of the mother of the companion, Jabir ibn Abdullah, Unaysa. So you see, he's a very lucky human being. His father companion, his mother companion, he himself companion. Radiallahu anhuma. So Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari is an eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the son of an eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad. So, and his father, Abdullah ibn Amr, was from amongst those who were very close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is an Ansari, as you see, so from Medina, an indigene of Medina. And they are from amongst those, his father was from amongst those who came to make bay'ah with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the valley called Al-Aqaba. You know, they came twice before the Prophet's migration, alayhi salatu wasalam, to Medina. So in the second pledge at Al-Aqaba, his father, Abdullah, came with him, Jabir ibn Abdullah. So, yes, he was young at the time. Because they say he was very, very, very young at the time. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari was young at the time, but his father came with him. So it became recorded in history that he was there too. So you, where do you take your own child to? Your own child, where do you take him to? Stadium to watch ball? Where do you take your own children to? So these were what people took their children to, and their names became recorded in the history. It would ever be mentioned that he was at Al-Aqaba. For those who came to take an oath of allegiance from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they will obey him, they will protect him, they will believe in him, and they will support his message. So let us from here watch where we take our own children to. So that was where his own father took him to. So at the time of the Battle of Badr, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari was prevented from attending the battle by his father. And the same thing at the Battle of Uhud. There are some of the reports that he was at the Battle of Badr, and that report has been mentioned to be authentic by Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar in his book Al-Iswaba fi Tamyiz al-Sahaba. But Imam al-Hafiz al-Mizzi alayhi rahmatullah brought a narration where he himself, the narration is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, mentioned that my father prevented me from attending Badr and Uhud. So this report in Sahih Muslim takes precedence over the other, which mentioned that he was at Badr. So Jabir ibn Abdullah was not at Badr based on his own testimony. So because the other report said that he was at Badr, he was fetching water for wounded people and all of these. So Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari did not witness Badr and Uhud, but he witnessed all other battles that were fought by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all other very, very important events he witnessed them, like Bay'atul Ridwan. He was there, tahta al-shajara, fa'alima ma fi qulubihim, wa anzala Allahu sakinata alayhim, wa asabahum fathan qariba. So he was there. He was at Bay'atul Ridwan. That is after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. He was there, radiallahu anhu, Jabir ibn Abdullah. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, to them, that day, on the day of Hudaybiyah, there are about 1,400 companions, radiallahu anhu. That day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, antum al-yawm khayru ahli al-ard. Antum al-yawm khayru ahli al-ard. Today, those of you that are here, you are the best human beings on earth. That day, Jabir was there, Ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu. He witnessed other very, very important events in the life of the Prophet Muhammad. He was one of the scholars amongst the companions. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, in fact, he was one of the muqsirun, that is, those who reported a lot of narrations. It is mentioned that he has over 1,500 ahadith. 1,500 ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Over that. And many of them are in Bukhari and Muslim. Many of his reports, you find it in Bukhari and Muslim. And Allah enabled him to live long. He lived for 95 years. When the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was mentioned to be about 20 or thereabouts. So if the Prophet had died while he was 20 and he lived for 95 years, he had another about 70 years explaining Islam to people. And from what he did most, radiallahu anhu, when he finally went back to settle in Medina, was teaching the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad. Jabir ibn Abdullah. He was one of those who thought he would sit down in the masjid when people come for Hajj, with explaining Islam to them. There's one hadith that came to mind now. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad mentioned it in his Sharh of Hadith Jibreel, that some people had come from Basra, they were from the Khawarij, and they had planned to spread Kharijiyya if they came to Hajj. So they passed by Medina and they saw Jabir ibn Abdullah. You know, from the Aqidah of the Khawarij is that they do not believe that Allah will remove some people from the fire of Jahannam on the day of Qiyam. Allah will remove people from fire of Jahannam. I'm sure we all know this. Some Muslims will be liberated and they will be referred to as Jahannamiyun. This hadith is also in Sahih Muslim. So in that hadith, those people who came from Basra and Kufa and all of that, who wanted to spread this aqidah of Kharijiyya, we know what Kharijiyya means, by the Khawarij. They came and they saw him explaining Islam, and he was saying that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that on the day of Qiyamah, some people will be removed from Jahannam and they will refer to as Jahannamiyun. So one of them came up and said, "You, why are you saying that?" The Khawarij, that's their way. They challenge anyone. Of course, the meaning of Kharijiyya is challenge to authority. The meaning of Kharijiyya, Al-Imam Ahmad al-Shahristani, in his book, Al-Milal wa Nihal, he said nobody is referred to as Kharijiyya, except that the fact is that he is challenged to authority. Don't challenge authorities. It is khuruj. And it is from that that they have the name Kharijiyya. The one who did it first, Abu Khuwaisra, he himself challenged the Rasul alayhi salam. Ya Muhammad Eidin, distribute this thing with justice. فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تَعْدِي. Because you are not just. The Prophet was distributing something that Ali brought from Yemen. Alayhi salatu wa radiallahu anhu. He said, be fair, because you are not fair. The Prophet said, if I'm not fair, who will be fair? And if the Prophet is not fair, who will be fair? So the man challenged Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. So you, did you not read the Quran? That anyone who goes into Jahannam, khalidina fi abada. He was reading Quran to a companion who was there when the Quran was revealed. Look at them. You came from Iraq. You are reading the Quran to a man who was there when wahy was coming down from heaven. He was the one who was saying, kunna nazil wal Quran yanzil. We were making azul and the Quran was being revealed. He is the one you are reading Quran to. So one of the things you see from the attitudes of Kharijiyya is that no respect for knowledge and scholars. Those people, they do not respect knowledge and they do not respect scholars. So if an alim says, no, don't do what they say, no, they just bring one verse of the Quran. A verse that person to whom they are quoting the verse knows better than they do. And that's what they did to Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. They said to Ibn Abbas, in al-hukmu illa lillah. Judgment is for Allah alone. You are quoting Quran, you are quoting a verse to Abdullah ibn Abbas, regarding whom the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma alimhu ta'awila. He is the one you are quoting the verse to. It's lack of respect for him, radiallahu anhu. He knows the Quran better than you. He knows the Quran better than you. So Jabir ibn Abdullah said to him, he also quoted a verse in that, did you not also read in the Quran that Allah says, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ, that whatever the Prophet gives you, take it. He read that people will go into Jahannam and they will stay in fire. But did he not also read that مَا أَتَاهُمُ الرَّسُولُ أَنْ يَأْخُذُوا بِهِ, that whatever the Prophet gives to them, they should take it. He says, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ, command, take it. He said, yeah, say, okay, I have heard that the Prophet said, alayhi salam, he started to report the hadith, that some people will be removed from Jahannam in the day of Qiyamah. So he did not stop at the verse of the Quran, he added the hadith of the Prophet. Because Allah did not just give us the Quran. He gave us the Quran wa mislahu ma'ahu. And that was what the Prophet came with, alayhi salam. He came with the Quran and something like the Quran with it. With the Quran. And that was Al-Jawab al-Hakim that Jabir ibn Abdullah gave. He gave him Quran and Hadith. Quran, Hadith. So Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari was from the learned amongst the companions. Al-Imam al-Zahabi, alayhi rahmatullah, while he was talking about him, he says, Kana mufti Madina fi asri. So in his time was the mufti of Medina. Medina, where the Prophet lived, Ali, was the mufti. You don't know something, you want to ask? Ask Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Radiallahu anhu. Very learned. And Allah gave him life. So people like them, generally speaking, were better than those who died before them. Because they had time, 75 years, he was spreading knowledge. How many of those who had died before him, had the opportunity to spread the kind of knowledge that he spread, such that since then till today, people have been acting upon that knowledge that he had spread, and all the rewards have been coming to him. So this is why the ulama have said, rahimahumullah, that there is no time that someone dies as a martyr, except that it lived at that time. Someone lived at that time, who died on his bed, and is better than that martyr. Do we understand? There is no time in the history of Islam that someone died as a martyr, and that in that same time, someone died on his bed and is better than that martyr. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, he died on his bed and is better than Umar. The Rasul himself, where did he die? Alayhi salatu. So why do you now say, okay, you want to die as a martyr, and then you kill innocent people again? Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari died on his bed. And aside battle of Uhud and Badr, he witnessed all the rest of the battles. And for 70 years he was explaining Islam. 70 years. This is one of what by which Allah blesses the sincere scholars of Islam. Long life. Allah blesses them with long life. So he lived for about a century, 95. Radiallahu anhu. We can go on and on and on and on about Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Radiallahu anhu. He was a very learned person from amongst the Prophet's companions. Radiallahu anhu. And his father died as a martyr in the Battle of Uhud. His father, Abdullah ibn Amr, he died in the Battle of Uhud as a martyr. It was reported that there was once that Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan wanted to make a fountain across that area in Uhud. And when the excavation were made, the body of his father Amr ibn Abdullah became exposed. So Jabir ibn Abdullah went there and saw his father as if he just died yesterday. And at that time he had left. He had come to Basra, he had come to Misra and returned to Medina before that incident took place. And he saw his father as if he was just buried yesterday. The father of Jabir ibn Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Amr al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu. So, and when his father died, we know the story, he left about 9 children, females. He said that was the reason why the father did not allow him, radiallahu anhu, to go for the Battle of Uhud. That in case I may die, you stay so that you live and take care of all these girls, his sisters. And he was the one that wanted to marry. That the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that why not marry a virgin girl? Tudahikuha wa tudahikuka. She will make you smile, she will make you have pleasure, and you will make her have pleasure too. And he went and then married a woman who was a sayyid, who was already married. And when the Prophet asked him, radiallahu anhu, why have you married a woman? He said, because I have sisters, so she will help me to take care of them. A virgin girl, young girl, may not be able to take care of this. If I had married someone who was married and experienced about, child upbringing, to help me take care of my sister. Jabir ibn Abdullah. So many things about him. Al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu. And like we said, father companion, Abdullah ibn Amr, mother companion, Unaysa, radiallahu anha, and son too, companion. And all the nine girls too, they were there, those who were grown up amongst them. It was something very nice. He's the one who witnessed this incident. And he says, Anna rajulan sa'ala Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the people will say that we do not need to know who this man is. You may not need to know him from the aspects of fiqh. Fuqaha, they may not need to know. Because the interest of the faqih is to draw rulings from ahadith. And this man, knowing the person of the man, may not be needed to draw the ruling. So a faqih, or someone who is given to fiqh, we will say we don't need to know it, as you read in some of the books. We don't need to know who the man is. But the scholars of hadith will say we need to know who is he, for so many reasons. One is Batu Suhda. We use it to affirm that person is a companion, because we may not find any other place to be sure that person is a companion. So if one day he is narrating to a people that someone said that the Prophet said, alayhi salam, and the person who reported, perhaps he did not say I'm a companion, the tabi who is known, who reported the hadith from him, says, a man said to me. He didn't say the man is a companion in one report. In another report, he now mentioned the man's name. This kind of a hadith will make us understand that the hadith is mutasil sahih. That man is a companion. How do we know? Is that companion who came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that day to ask a question? There are similar other issues. There was a case of a woman. The hadith is regarding the issues of menstruation. The woman is being contended. If I remember, let me not say. The woman is being contended to be a companion. There's a report somewhere that was brought where she said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was making tawaf and I was near the Zamzam. Another report completely. She was describing the Prophet's Hajj, radiallahu anha, and she was saying the Prophet was making tawaf and I was near the Zamzam. It is with this second report that the first report was ascertained to be authentic. That else would have said we don't know the shaksiyah of the person, majhula, masla. We don't know. Is it companion? We don't know. But with this second report, it makes us understand that the first report is authentic. That it is coming from someone who saw the Prophet. Because the fact that she saw the Prophet in Tah, even if the Prophet did not see her, she's a companion. So for the scholars of hadith, they will ask, who is that man? Similar things occur in so many places. Even when in some situations the companions, they would not mention someone's name when something like this happens. Particularly if it is not something that's very positive. They will just conceal his name. Like the hadith of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, Jundub ibn Junada. The one regarding whom the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, innaka mru'in fika jahiliya. The one who said to Bilal radiallahu anhu, that, ya ibna ummi aswat, O son of the black woman. The Prophet heard it. You have some jahiliya in you. The person who said this was Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. The companions, when they reported it, they will say a man said to the Prophet, said to Bilal. But when he reported it, he said, I said to Bilal. So it was from the second report that was known, okay, the one who said to Bilal, that is Ibn Ummi Aswad, was who? Abu Dharr, from his own report. They used to do so to conceal themselves, if the report is not very positive. Even when after that time, if you read the hadith further, you see Allah used it to further raise Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. Because he went to Bilal ibn Rabah, radiallahu anhu, and he sat before him. He went down. He put his feet on the ground in the dust below the feet, near the feet of Bilal, and said to Bilal, match my mouth. That mouth that said that, match it in the dust. He said that to Bilal, match this mouth. The mouth that said Ibn Ummi Asa, match the mouth. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. Is it honor or not?
Honor.
Because it showed remorse for what he did. We are just saying that sometimes the companions will not mention their names to conceal the personality of the person that's involved. But sometimes they will mention the names so that it is known. But they will mention it one or twice. They will stop mentioning it. So it is those who heard it once or twice who now carry it. So for the scholars of hadith, it is important to them. For a faqih, it may not be important. But for the scholars of hadith, to them, it is important. So in another riwayah of this hadith, this man, his name is Nu'man ibn Qawqal. Nu'man ibn Qawqal. That same riwayah occurs in Sahih Muslim. That Nu'man ibn Qawqal came to the Prophet Muhammad and asked this question. So, okay, that man where Jabir ibn Abdullah said, Rajulun, is Nu'man ibn Qawqal. Radiallahu anhu. So it says, Anna Rajulan. So this Rajul is who? Nu'man ibn Qawqal. Fa'ala Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. Faqala and said, أرأيت إذا صليت الصلوات المكتوبات أرأيت what do you deem fit for me? What's your opinion for me? Asking for his view about something. So what did he ask about? إذا صليت الصلوات المكتوبات, if I perform the obligated prayers, maktubat. You know, we said inna allaha kataba al-ihsana ala kulli shay. He said kataba is used to indicate obligation. Like he said kutiba alaykum as-siyam, yani furidu alaykum as-siyam. So we say as-salawatul maktubat, as-salawatul mafruda, the obligatory salah. And he started it with an alif wal-lam, so all of them, those salah that you know that they are the obligatory ones, those salah that you know. Here, there's a salient, this an important point here. Two things. One, the salah he's talking about is a salah, he's talking to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's not talking about the salah that anybody performs as he likes. He's talking about the salah regarding which the Prophet said, Salu. It is that type of salah that he's talking about. Do you understand? He's talking about a kind of salah that is known to the Prophet Muhammad. And that is the salah that he has ordered us to perform. Anyone who performs a salah in a manner other than that way, that is not the salah that is being referred to in this hadith. Do you understand? Very, very silent. There's a point here. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah says, Akimu salah, in many places in the Quran. Which salah is he talking about? The salah as performed by the Prophet Muhammad. So when this man is asking, Ara'aytu, Iza salaytu, As-salawatil maktubat, what do you deem appropriate? If I perform or establish my the obligatory prayers, which obligatory prayer is the that the Prophet is talking about? It is that obligatory prayer that the Prophet knows that he performed and ordered the people to perform. It's not the kind of prayer that al-musi' salatahu performed, the one who performed his prayer badly, and he came and the Prophet told him alayhi salatu wasalam, irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli. This is not the prayer he's talking about. So two kinds of salah. Salah that is in line with the sunnah, and salah that is not in line with the sunnah. The one about which and Nu'man ibn Qamqal was asking about is what salah? The salah in line with the sunnah. Because that is the salah. Any other one is salah, not the salah that is ordered. And that is the one regarding, you say, al-maktuba. Because that one that person is performing by himself, in the way he likes, is not maktuba. Allah did not obligate us to perform salah like that. So the one that he's talking about is the salah that the Prophet taught, alayhi salatu salam, regarding which he says, alayhi salatu salam, as reported by the companion Malik ibn Huwairis in Sahih Bukhari, sallu kama ra'aytumun yusalli. So let anybody just perform salah as he likes. Say, oh, they say if I pray and pray Ramadan, pray, go to Ramadan, it's okay. Don't pray as you like. Pray as the Prophet prayed, alayhi salatu salam. When I was reading this hadith today, something came to my mind. That perhaps, inshallah, next week, we'll look at how did the Prophet used to pray. Because we've been talking about Salah. When we read Usul Sunnah, we read Hukmu Tariq Salah, the ruling regarding the one who abandons Salah. When we read the hadith of Jibreel, the second hadith in Arba'un, and the first hadith in other books of hadith, some of the scholars of hadith have made, like the Sharh al-Sunnah of al-Imam al-Baghawi and other books. And the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar about Bunya al-Islam ala khamsin. We always talk about Salah. Which Salah? Maybe inshallah if Allah gives us the opportunity. Next week, we just take the time to describe the Prophet Salah. Inshallah. So it is this Salah that he is asking about. So if I perform this Salah, وَصُمْتُ رَمَضَانَ and I fast two things. You can say I fast in the month of Ramadan or I fast the fasting of Ramadan. Both correct. I'm fasting the month of Ramadan because Ramadan could be referring to the month's name and Ramadan could be referring to the fasting. So whether it is referring to the name of the month and you are fasting in that month, or it is referring to the name of the fasting, the both of them, they are correct as far as this hadith. So it says, "Wasum to Ramadan," and I'm fast, and I fast Ramadan. I establish the salah, and I observe the fast. I didn't stop there. It says, "Wa ahlaltu al-halal," and I make the halal to be halal. How does one make halal to be haram? Halal. Halal, I make halal to be halal. Ahlaltu al-halal. I make halal to be halal. How do we make halal to be halal? Ulama say two ways. The first one, al-i'tiqadu annahu halal. Believe that it is halal. The second one, al-amalu bihi. Acting upon it. So when you believe that halal is halal, so many of the people you see on the street, some of them have the opportunity to wear nice clothes, wear nice cars, wear nice shoes, ride nice rides. You say, no, they don't want because they are doing zuhud. La, you have not made ihlalul halal. To say, ahlaltul halal, making halal to be halal is, you believe that this thing is halal. Allah says, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُحَرِّمُوا طَيِّبَاتِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. So when someone says, it's halal, but me, I don't want to eat. I say, وَكُلُوا إِتْ Allah says, eat it. From what Allah had enriched you with, halalan tayyiba, make sure it is halal. Once it's halal, eat halal. And nice things. Eat nice things. Yes, the companions will eat dadinu and they will eat meat and they will eat that. But it didn't mean that they ate dadinu every day. They drank milk, pure milk, from cattle and other animals that they had. They ate other good food that they knew. So in halal and tayyiba, in our place here, to eat halal and tayyib. So don't say, no, you know, Allah say, wakulu, eat, order. It's an order. And that's why people like Sheikh Usaini alayhi rahmatullah believe that those who don't take to those halal and they have the ability to take to it, they are not obeying these instructions. You have opportunity to wear good clothes, you are wearing dirty clothes. You say you are doing zood. Who sent you that zood? He says, لا تحرموا طيبا فيما أحل الله لكم. The nice things that Allah had made permissible for you, لا تحرموا على أنفسكم. Do not make them prohibited. Don't prohibit them for yourself. So you say, man, he pays millions in his house and he's wearing one brown dirty clothes all around. You ask yourself, yeah, inshallah, izuhud. La. Al-Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi, alayhi rahmatullah, one of the scholars of hadith in his time, was described with nice clothes. He will wear nice clothes. Oh, Imam Khatib is far. Al-Imam Malik, alayhi rahmatullah, is described with dressing properly. It was said that sometimes he had about 100 turbans, shoes, 100 shoes. Imam Malik, nice turbans, nice thawb, siyab. When you enter the majlis of Imam Malik, you are perfume, you are perceiving. He is the one that is smelling the perfume. He is the one you are feeling the perfume is from, Imam Malik. So you are doing zood, they know Islam and zood more than you. So وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا لَا تُحَرِّمُوا الطَّيِّبَاتِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. If you have opportunity to live in a nice house, live nice house. Nice car, live it. Nice dress, wear it. Nice food, eat it. So you have ability to live nicely, you are living like someone that Allah has not given anything. As if Allah has not honored him. So all the honor that Allah has given to him, he's throwing it away. So he wants to live to be seen like a poor man. In fact, the people who will give zakat or zakat al-fitr will be looking for him. But it's not due for it. Do you think that is right amongst to behave like that amongst Muslims? So, ahlaltul halal that the companion asked the Prophet about alayhi salatu wasalam is to believe that something is halal and to act upon the things that are halal. He says, وَحَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامِ and I consider those things that are also prohibited. As what? Prohibited. How? Two ways to. Number one, believe that they are prohibited. Number two, abstain from them. So that is حَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامِ. That is his considering haram to be what? Haram. How? Believe that this thing is haram. If someone has opportunity to make zina, la ilaha illallah, someone wants to make zina. So, but he leaves it. See, this girl is not fine. Yes, he will not be punished to have committed zina. But he will not leave, he will not get the reward of leaving zina for the sake of Allah. Do you understand? He just left it. Or maybe he told the girl, look, let's do this, this. And later I start thinking, this girl can have HIV. Yes, he will not be punished for committing zina. At the same time, he will not get the reward of leaving zina. But the one who wants to make zina, but remembers that Allah has prohibited zina and zina is haram, and by that leaves zina, he will have two things. He will get the reward of leaving zina for the sake of Allah. And he will not be punished to have, of course, he did not commit the zina. And that's why from the Kiswah the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, about the three from Banu Israel who got under the rock. One of them said, I told her that I will make zina, and she came. And he got into the room, everywhere was dark. He got ready, she got ready. But she said, oh, but remember Allah. So for the sake of Allah, he left it. So you get the reward of leaving it for the sake of Allah. And he will not be punished for making zina, because he said, alayhi salatu salam, that the private organs either confirms or denies. So in his case, his private organs denied. So two rewards also, leaving zina, the reward for leaving zina, and the reward for not having committed zina in the first place. So haram to haram is to believe that haram is haram, believing that it is haram and not doing it because Allah has prohibited it. Please, let's have this in mind. Many times people leave something, they are not leaving it because they believe that Allah says we should leave it. Because this consciousness, aside the fact that it adds to our rewards, it makes us get close to Allah, of course, because it adds to the reward, it makes us come close to Allah. And makes us get more conscious about what we are doing. It brings life into what we do. So a guy says, you know, Allah does not want it. So two reasons. He leaves it hoping for the mercy of Allah. So it's very important. Haram to haram. Not just leaving haram. Believing that haram is haram and then leaving haram. He says, radiallahu anhuma, reporting about that companion, he says, وَلَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. I pray. I do Ramadan fasting. I make halal halal. I make haram haram. He says, وَلَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. And I do not add anything to that. Look at this companion. So don't ask me whether I have prayed witr. Don't ask me whether I have prayed rakat al-fajr. Don't ask me whether I made rawatib. Don't ask me ashura or taswa. Don't ask me that one. Fasting on Saturday, me, no problem with me. Because I will not fast even on Saturday except it is obligatory. If it is in Ramadan now, I will fast on Saturday. That is by implication anyway. But to say fasting, non-obligatory fasting on Saturday, me, I'm not there. Lam azid ala dhalika shay'a. I don't add anything to it. Ulama say, why did he not add zakah? And why did he not add hajj? They say, perhaps zakah, the Prophet saw him, alayhi salatu wasalam, as somebody who is poor who can't pay zakah. So he did not mention zakah to him. They say, yes, that is circumstantial answer. But the general answer is that it is from those things Allah has obligated. And he has also prohibited not paying zakah. It is haram not to pay zakah. So from his making haram to be haram is that he will not refuse to pay zakah. That is, he will pay zakah. Do you understand? He said the same thing applies to hajj and all other instructions of the Sharia. And that's why Imam Al-Haytami Bita'in, he said, alayhi rahmatullah, that there is another way of looking at this. He's saying, أَحْلَلْتُ halal wa harramtu haram. That halal could be مَا لَيْسَ بِحَرَامٍ. And مَا لَيْسَ بِحَرَامٍ in the Sharia are three things. The wajibat, the mustahabbat, and those things that are themselves halal or something that has a ruling of jais in Sharia. So he's saying, أَحْلَلْتُ halal could mean those things that are obligatory upon me, I do them. Those things that are masnuna, I do them. Those things that are also jawa'is, from jais, I also do them. Do you understand? You see, that's another way of looking at that hadith. The ahlalatul halal could mean all the things that are obligatory, I do it. All those things that are not like that. And the same thing applies for haram. The haram could mean things that are makruh, and those things that are what? Actually haram. Because makruh is from the far, from the furu' of muharramat. You see, that is another way of looking at it. In a nutshell, it will encapsulate all the rulings of the Sharia. Imma directly, like salah and fasting that's mentioned, or indirectly in terms of halal and haram. They will always fall in between, directly or indirectly.
So he said, alayhi rahmatullah. He says, فَإِذَا أَحَلَّ كُلَّ حَلَالٍ وَحَرَّمَ كُلَّ حَرَامٍ. If this man considers every halal to be halal and makes them halal, and then every haram to be haram, and those as explained, he says, فَقَدْ أَتَى بِجَمِيعِ وَظَائِفِ الشَّرْعِ. فَقَدْ أَتَى بِجَمِيعِ وَظَائِفِ الشَّرْعِ. He has carried out all the requirements of the Sharia. He has acted upon it. So you see, this hadith is also general, like all the hadith we have been reading. اتقوا الله حيث ما كنت. Fear Allah wherever you are. You see, that's general. So this is also a general hadith that has to do with every aspect of our life as Muslims. But he said he didn't do any mustahabbah. So back to the first meaning. Only leave haram, do halal, and then perform salah and I fast. So we say this hadith is also evidence that the Muslims are of different levels. So if he says he will not do more than that, he says, Walam azid ala zalika shay'an. I'm not adding anything to that. Lakin Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq added to it. They cannot be the same. Do we understand? Umar added, he can't be the same with the one, and Nu'man ibn Qawqal, who will not act. And that's why the Muslims are of different levels. We have Ashabul Yameen. And then we have Al-Muqarrabun. We have Muqarrabun, those who are nearest to Allah. And then we have Ashabul Yameen. Generally, Ashabul Yameen, people of the right, they will enter Al-Jannah. So he says, فَسَلَامٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ. Ashabul Yameen, سَلَامٌ لَهُمْ. They are saved from the punishment of the fire. By the fact that they are from Ashabul Yameen, he says, فَسَلَامٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ. No problem. No fire for them. Lakin, those مُقَرَّبُونَ, what did he say about them? فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. So they will be in Al-Jannah, the place of pleasure. Yes, those people too will be there. He says, فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةٌ نَعِيمٌ. So they will be, it's رَوْحٌ, rest. They will find rest, tranquility. وَرَيْحَانٌ, and entertainment. And the Jannah, the place of enjoyment. That is السَّابِقُونَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. These are the people like Abu Bakr and Siddiq, Omar radiallahu anhu, and those who add more. Do we understand? Those who add more. You want to be from Sabiqun and Muqarrabun, add more. You want to remain in Ashabul Yameen, stay as this companion said. Also, they will have Jannah, they will not go to Jahannam, yes. But Al-Jannah is in Tabaqat. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that from one level to the other, people will look at themselves the way we look at the stars. Those who are in one level will be looking at those in the next level like the way we are looking at stars. So you will not smell what they are smelling. What they enjoy, everybody is on its own. So this hadith is also evidence that iman is of levels. People are of levels. Because definitely if he says, well, I'm azid ala dhalika shay'an, gairu zada ala dhalika ashiya. He said, well, I'm azid ala dhalika shay'an. And he said, adkhulu al-jannah, said, na'am. Lakin gairu zada ala dhalika ashiya. Like Jabir we mentioned now, radiallahu anhu. Zada ala dhalika ashiya. And this is not to mean that this companion also did not add. Because by the time he's doing be halal and living haram and performing salah, making sawm, many other things will be easy for him in Islam. That is the way Islam is. He will find making nawafil easy. Like his salah now, he knows that this is salah. I won't joke with the salah. Most times it is not likely that they will start the salah when he's not there. So if he enters the masjid, he'll perform tahiyyatul masjid. Has he added or not? Because he wants to fulfill that first one. If he enters the masjid, he will perform tahiyyatul. If he sits down in the masjid waiting for the salah that is mafruda, is he adding or not? He's trekking from his house to the mosque. Is he adding or not? He's going back. Is he adding or not? He's saying
before he enters the masjid, the zikr for entering the masjid, is he adding or not? He's going out of the masjid, is he adding or not? He will add. Because he wants to uphold those things that are what? Obligatory. See, that's how Islam is. Easy. So in the end, he is targeting Ashabul Yameen, that last card. I won't miss this Ashabul Yameen. But in the end, he finds himself in Sabiqun al-Muqarrabun. Like Allah says. He says again, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. He says, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقُونَ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. الإمام ابن تيمية عليه رحمة. In his book Al-Furqan, بين أولياء الرحمن وأولياء الشيطان. He says this verse is regarding the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ. He says, the kitab here is Quran. الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا أُمَّةُ مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Ummah of Muhammad. They are those who are chosen from the servants of Allah. We thank Allah for that message. He says, فَمِنْهُمْ, from this Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ sina. هو لا يحرم الحرام. Same, ظالم he repents. He sins, he repents. So he wrongs his own soul. فمنهم مقتصد. Some, they are fair, straightforward. So Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah said, these are those who, they make halal haram, they make haram haram. They don't do zina, they don't do things that are haram. But they are not involved in much in our field. He says, وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقُمْ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. Look at what he said. They are in the forefront in terms of good deeds. It's not because they want to do so alone. They want to do so and Allah gave them the permission. So he said, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So this question, anyone who fulfills me, I won't do more than this. Just know that it is مُقْتَصِد. You are targeting. But if you target مُقْتَصِد and just stay there alone, you may find yourself in Zolim when you know, especially in the kind of circumstance we live in now. Sincerely speaking, if you just target Muqtasid and stay there, even when that is not easy, Muqtasid, he will leave everything halal, haram. And it is halal that he will do. Any haram, you will not see him there. So, he sits with women in the vehicle. His own is not there. He is an Ataba man. When we carry one woman going to Magaranta, you will not see him there. Because it's not permissible. It's not. So let's target to be from amongst those that Allah regarded as what? Sabiqun bil khairat. Those who are in the forefront in terms of good deeds by Allah's permission. This is what we should target. So this hadith is regarding muqtasidun, those who want to remain me and I don't want, no problem, let me just stay here. Many people say this, but they are already zalimun li nafsi. Many people say, me, I just do halal, I live haram. But it's all his life gone is haram. I remember someone was telling me this, and he's a bank staff, he's a manager in a bank. Someone was telling me this, see me? Anything that Allah says haram, I will leave it. Anything Allah says haram. He's a bank manager. That day I wanted to, I said, if I tell this man, I said, you are already inside the soup that will finish you. The soup of haram, now you the cooker. People come and eat it. It's not that he's the one eating the haram. He's the one cooking. You know, it's the soup himself. Because he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مُوكِلَ الرِّبَى لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آكِلَ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَهُ. The curse of Allah be upon آكِلَ الرِّبَى, the one who consumes riba, Allah's wrath be upon him. وَمُوكِلَهُ, the one who gives it to people, take. وَكَاتِبَهُ, the one who is writing it. وَشَاهِدَهُ, the one who is witness to it. Four people. There is nobody working in a bank except that he falls into any of these four. Akila riba. They are the
Hebrews. He says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ riba. Are we seeing it now? وَيُرِبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Now people are begging, please give them small money. Give them some money. Allah destroyed the wealth. بَيْنَ عَشِيَّةً وَدُحَاهَا. That woman is in the news. They collected from her 500 billion. Where did she get, what work is she doing? Allah's wrath is upon Akila Riba. If she changes, perhaps Allah will forgive her. Let me quickly say something here. I didn't say La'an Allahu upon her. I said Akila Riba. Do you understand? Because you do not say La'ana to a person that's living, whether a Muslim or a kafir. But you can say La'ana to an attribute of a group of people. Like you say, Allah's curse be upon the kuffar. Yes. But you don't say, George Bush, Allah's curse be on you. You don't say that. Many people used to say, it's wrong. Because you don't know what George Bush will become tomorrow. Yes. George Bush can become tomorrow from the scholars of Hadith. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. He will just change. And by the time you know it is Imam. It's not late. Allah is فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. Allah, He does what He likes. عمر بن العاص رضي الله عنه, he said one day, on the day he was to die, this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. He said, before he came into Islam, we were talking about riba, we'll come back to it. He said the day before he accepted Islam, he hated the Prophet Muhammad. Then he was asked, who do you hate most in Muhammad? That he always wished he killed the Prophet. All he said, well, how will I kill this man and just wait? He said, that time, if anybody said I will enter fire, I will say, yes, I will enter fire. If I die like this, I'm fire. He said, I will agree. He said, but when I accepted Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam became the most beloved to me, Mahal Shahid. Now when this is where we want to, when he accepted Islam, he loved the Prophet more than everything, to the extent that he said he cannot look at the face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi. If anyone asks me now, describe Muhammad, say I can't describe because of the respect for him, I couldn't look at his face. Look at how Allah changed the heart. Muqallib al-qulub. So you don't say la'ana to a kafir. You hear it now, they say because they support that Israel should bomb Palestine. So Allah caused it. Damirun dakmira. But that Jewish wali, damirun, is wrong. It's not from Sunnah. So we say, La'an Allahu akila riba. Allah's curse is upon the one who eats riba, who consumes riba. Wa mukilahu, and the one who gives someone, take riba, eat it. Wa shahidahu, aw katibahu awala, the one who writes it. So those ones are the counter, you are the one collecting it. Katiba riba. La'anatullah alayk. Katiba riba. The one who writes riba and shahidah, the witness. So say bring two witness. They call it a name now. Guarantor. You know it everybody. So they bring guarantor. La'natullah ala al-guarantor. So if you say no me, I'll just make halal, halal. I'll just make haram, haram. Your present state, watch it first. So like I said, someone was telling me, inshallah, my own halal is halal, haram is haram. It's okay. And it's bank manager. So what we should target, ikhwan, is to be from sabiquna bil khairat. Don't let any good deed miss you. This was what the companions were upon. Abu Darda, he said, if you place a knife on my neck, and I remember one sunnah that I have not practiced, before you move the knife, I will quickly practice that sunnah. Do you understand? You place a sword on my neck. You want to kill me. And I just remember that there is one sunnah. Before you move it, the knife, I would have practiced that sunnah. He's talking about the speed at which he will quickly do the sunnah. So let's not allow any good deed to miss us, ikhwan. And the way we do that is to know the adab, the etiquette of doing everything in Islam. If you know the etiquette of doing everything in Islam, all your life will be for Allah. People of Harakiya, they used to say, "Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyayi wa mamati." It seems that mahyayi wa mamati is to go and blow bomb, blow aeroplane. Do you understand what I'm saying? People used to think that "Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyayi wa mamati" is to go and blow aeroplane. No. All your life, make it be upon sunnah. This that we want to mention happened to two of the scholars of Islam. But one of them is the one that I will mention. Al-Imam Abu Zura At-Tarrazi, Ubaydullah ibn Abdul Karim. When he wanted to die, people were with him. So they were talking to him. When they saw that the death was coming, he was not reciting the Kalima, they started to recite the Asanid, the chains of narration regarding that hadith. Man qala, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah. So they deliberately were making mistakes in the isnad of the hadith. So when they read it, they'll make a mistake. He was listening, he was shaking his head. "You are wrong. On the deathbed though, this is wa mamati. On the deathbed. In fact, it is both mahyai or mamati. Because that is upon what he will die. Lillahi Rabbil Alamin." They are due for Allah. It's not due to anybody. So while they recited it, they made errors. He stopped them. He now bring the isnad. Haddathana fulan ibn fulan. He started to read. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah. He has not said dakhal al jannah. He died. So did he say la ilaha illallah or not? Imam, famata ala zalik. So this is mamati. So you don't carry bomb and go and start phoning your father. "Papa, I don't disown you today. From today, you are no more my father. You hear me? Okay, we'll see tomorrow." The next thing your father is hearing is that he wants to bomb the plane. Even if that father, like we said, is the kind of father that he has. Because from the things that would have frustrated that boy is the fact that his father is working in a bank. In fact, he's not working in the bank. They are the creators of bank. They are the Baba. I don't want to say Baba Dean. Because there is no Dean in the bank. They are the forerunners of the bank. The forerunners. They are the ones in any bank. They are there. So they became chairman. 10 years. Those people who would deceive this boy would have used these things to deceive him. See your father? They'll go and bring verses of Quran. Because like we said, Quran, easily. Allah said, war with people who are doing riba. See your father is... So you do not take him anything. He'll say, "Papa, I don't disown you. Because Allah will fight war with you." That he says, error. Because his father can change. Even 2 days to the day he die, he can change. Say, "Oh Allah, I repent." Can't he? "All the riba that I've been eating, I repent today. Please forgive me." And he goes to Hajj to make Umrah to Makkah. He makes Umrah. As he finishes his tawaf, makes 2 rakah of nafil behind Maqam Ibrahim. He says, "Assalamu alaikum, salam." He just lie down there and sleep and die. It can happen. So why is he doing that to his father? "I disown you." So, but because people do not understand these things as from the sunnah, easily they are swayed away. One guy just started quoting verse for them. Or the one who dragged people to go and fight government and carry guns and start shooting guns against government. Is it not also some incorrectness in the manner of thought? So they will tell him, "Aman la yahkum bima anzalallah, fa'ulaikum kafirun, fa'ulaikum fasiqun." He said, "Allahu Akbar.
So brothers, Islam is not like that. It is something that we need to understand, we need to learn, we need to understand and act upon. Why he was saying وَكُلُوا, he says لَا تُحَرِّمُوا طَيِّبًا, the verse we read from Ma'ida, مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا, don't exceed boundaries. He says إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ, Allah does not like those who exceed boundaries. So don't think that you want to serve Allah and you are exceeding boundaries. Allah will not take it from you. And he said again, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, وَالدِّينُ يُسْرٌ, this deen is easy. He says, وَلَا يُشَادُ أَحَدٌ دِينَ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ, nobody takes the deen like that except that it overpowers him. He will not be able to continue. Ease. Yassiru wa la tu'assir, make things easy. So someone will see Hebrew today and say, hey, God don't catch you, this woman. Because you imagine the kind of depression she'll be facing now. 500 billion and 23 houses, about 6 or 7 of those houses from New York City, each of them worth $600, $600,000 each of them. Am I correct? I read it once, but it did not go out of my mind. Because I'm surprised, I wonder, subhanallah, the blood of people. At that, what this woman requires now is to be told that Nabbi ibadi anni ana al-ghafuru rahim. Islam, number one. You see what is your problem? Just accept Islam. First, when you accept, Allah will forgive you. يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتٍ حَسَنَةً, you see all those your riba, he will convert it to good to, and he will now enrich you, good money. Those billions will come back to you. So when you see another thing, you, God don't cash it. Allah cash it. Did Allah not say, يَمْ حَكُ اللَّهُ رِبَا, why do you be so la, perhaps it will not benefit her. So أَدِّينُ يُسْر, he says يَسْرُ, make it easy for her to become a Muslim. وَلَا تُعَسِّرُ, don't make things difficult for the people. وَبَشِّرُ, give them good, glad tidings now. Madam, if you accept Islam, this is what Allah will do to you. This is what Allah will do to you. This is what Allah will do to you. I don't even know whether those Muslims who have opportunities to people like that ever have the time to discuss Islam. And those who will have opportunity now. If they have opportunity, let her know that Allah will forgive her. No matter the sin, once she comes into Islam, it's over. So, this companion, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhuma, said to us that the Prophet said that a man, anna rajulan sa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, فقال أرأيت إذا صليت الصلوات المكتوبات وصمت رمضان وأحللت الحلال وحرمت الحرام ولم أزد على ذلك شيئا أأدخل الجنة؟ قال نعم. The statement of the Prophet in all of this is what? نعم. All others are the statement of other than the Rasul عليه الصلاة والسلام. His own statement here is نعم. So we pray Allah to make us understand this hadith better than it has been said. Rawahu Muslim. This hadith was reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih Kitab al-Iman. If there are one or two questions that we'll give answers to, inshallah, we'll try to give answers.
I give the time to explain taking the bond Allah will give you. I want, it's not like going to the video, I didn't get to
school. Okay.
It's like you are discouraging going to Zuhud.
No.
Well, I don't want to get
married. We are saying people should do Zuhud as it should be done. Zuhud is to leave what you don't need. As long as you need it, to leave it is not from Zuhud. Except when you don't need it. If you need it, leaving it is not from Zuhud. For example, you are hungry. There is food to eat, saying, I want it. Inshallah, I want it. What are you doing? I'm doing Zuhud. Inna Allah bikum rahima. Allah is merciful to you. Who are you? Azubun after who? Why is he punishing himself? Some Sufis do that. And they have learnt that from Gautama Buddha. Because that was what he did. He was eating a number of seed of rice. Later he changed it to 7, 8. Later he changed it to 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. One seed of rice. Later he stopped eating anything. He became so lean. That was when he said he received his Bhagavad Gita, what is it called? From severe hunger. How will you not receive something when he's hungry? One hungry man said, one angel came unto him and gave him something. Why will you not receive something? So Zuhud is not that. Zuhud is not, it's not to leave out what we need, thinking that we are getting close to Allah by leaving those things we need. For example, sleep. Some people say, we will not sleep. The Prophet said, I sleep, and sometimes I don't sleep. So for somebody not to sleep is not Zuhud. Chicken. Fowl. People say, oh, if you are Zuhud, you will not eat chicken. One companion ate the chicken. Someone came thinking, as that person was thinking, you companion, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He was eating chicken. The Jaja. Abu Ishaq. He was eating chicken. He said, companion of the Prophet, you are eating chicken? He said, I see Prophet eating chicken. I'm eating chicken because I saw Prophet eating chicken. You know what that means? That if it is Zuhud not to eat chicken, the Prophet would not have eaten chicken. So I don't eat chicken because it's good. The ride of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the best rides ever. The day that ride, a Jewish camel, surpassed Kiswa in a race, the companions were crying. What kind of horse, camel, do you think it will be? Do you understand what I'm saying? The Prophet's camel, Kiswa. And it's not only Kiswa that he had others. So if you see one man had 5 cars now, you say, oh, they don't see Allah. Malan, Jisur Allah. Prophet had more than one ride. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, radiallahu anhum, this companion, radiallahu anhum, sold a camel to the Prophet, sallallahu, on credit. So yeah, one man buy one car, he didn't just say, oh, they are buying car, they didn't have money. That time, the Prophet had Kiswa, he still bought the one from Jabir on credit. So when Al-Qiswa, because of his beauty and its speed and its intelligence, when you compare it to other camels, the day one camel of one of the Jews was surpassed Qiswa, the companions were crying like this. Crying. Prophet's camel was surpassed. So imagine that the Malam, one Imam Al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, like the one very close to us here now, has one jeep. His kind is not known in Kaduna. They say, oh, Basu Ajisoro Allah. Do you understand? So where is Zuhud? Yeah. The companions were crying. You know what he said? Alayhi salatu wassalam. This will make us understand who he was. He was not controlled by what he had. He controlled what he had. He says, Ma rafa Allahu shay'an min dunyakum illa wada'ahu. Allah never raises anything in this your world except that he brings it down. So he had raised Kiswa to be from the best of animals. So what was remaining? So if Ustaz buy Jeep, GMC Jeep, big Jeep, GMC Jeep, Allah will still bring it down. The people doing Jeep will still do another Jeep, better than that Jeep. You bring it down. You buy that one again. Do you understand? There are so many things like that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the clothes he would wear, they say they bring them from Yemen, imported. Imported. The Prophet's clothes, imported, not Kanu, imported. Some people will he says, Inna Allah Jamilun Yuhibbul Jamal. Inna Allah Tayyibun La Yakbalu Illa Tayyiba. So that is why we are one dirty clothes, start smelling. He says, Amala Minin, he says, Bazud Neba La Abada. Oh, you are hungry, they say, Mala, stand up, Naysia. Allah. This ta'zib al-nafs is haram.
It's haram. And he has the opportunity to eat. Say no, it's good. Allah didn't send you that. Ma anzal Allah biha min sultan. This is similar to what the Jews and the Christians did. And they were not able to uphold it. What did he say? Subhanahu. وَرَبَانِيَّةً يَبِتَدَعُهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. He says, فَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. They are not able to free. Or you see women, nice women, you have the opportunity to marry, you didn't marry. Why you didn't marry? Zuhud Allah. No wife? Mala, no wife? Mala, by matter? La. La. Marry. Marry. One, two, three, four. If you have the opportunity. Alaykum as-salam. So all those things, they are not from Zuhud. The people who should wear the best clothes are those who are malams and the students learning Islam. They are the best clothes are for them because of what they are doing, the importance of what they are doing. If you ask any bank staff, why is this dressing so corporate to his bank? What will he say? He says, because I come in contact with people. What about the one who, when he's reading Quran or the Hadith, the angels come and sit where he's sitting? How is he? When Jibril was coming, what did he do? Sala alayna rajul. Shadidu bayadu siyab. Shadidu sawadu sha'ar. He cream his hair. La yura alayhi asaru safar. Wa la ya'arifuhu minna ahad. Abu Huraira in his riwayah, he said he was scenting smell. In the Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Jibril was smelling like anything. Nice. So he said, somebody is Al-Majri, is dirty all around. No, it is not Islam. It's not Islam. Or somebody says, Malam, all around. Dirty, useless, no, that is not Islam. What did he tell us about Salatul Jummah? He said, if we get two clothes, nice, aside the clothes we wear every day for Salatul Jummah, use it. Even if you don't have perfume, go and use the perfume of your wife, if she has. Is this the same prophet who will be dirty smelling when he comes to the mosque? So where is the sunnah? That is not sunnah. The sunnah is opposite of that. We are the best clothes, ikhwan. Once you have the opportunity, halalan, tayyiban. Other than that, it's not Islam. And Islam does not know it. Not only clothes, ride, house, everything that you need. So that's why, a few days ago, someone was telling me that in this community, in any house, when a girl is dirty and stubborn, they say, wana, na malam ne. But when a girl is neat and intelligent, they say, oh, nama sunkudine. It's wrong. It's wrong. From the best women in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Aisha. You know how? Her father was rich. And she was the most beloved daughter to her father. So how do you think he would take care of her? Do you understand what I'm saying? That was the kind of girl Prophet married. Young one. Intelligent. From a rich family, when he had the opportunity. What about Khadija? Was he just any girl, the woman on the street? There is no wife of the Prophet. What about Safiya bint Huyay? The one that Aisha radiallahu anha was telling that you. She went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at what Aisha is telling to me. Aisha is telling that I'm Jew. He said, go back and tell her that I am the daughter of my own father, my own uncle, is a prophet. My father is a prophet. My husband is a prophet. My father, prophet. My uncle, prophet. My husband, prophet. Me, wife of prophet. Go back and tell her that one. You, your father, not prophet. Your uncle, not prophet. Your husband, not prophet. No problem. One. But those two. I'm just saying, these were the kind of women the prophet married. And where did she come from? Juwairiyah, who was she? Maimuna, who was she? Maimuna was the daughter of Abu Sufyan. Go to Makkah and ask who Abu Sufyan was. Huh? Ramla. Bint Abu Sufyan. Go and ask Ummu Habiba. Go and ask who she was. So the Prophet didn't marry one girl and the day on the one day one and Amala. No. Let no malam take that one. But you will be able to only say that when they see you as malam too, that it's not kuja kuja malam. Don't be any kuja kuja malam. Don't be kuja kuja malam. Don't be kuja kuja toilet. It's so common now. yesterday I was being told there's a masjid around us, not far away. The imam of the masjid didn't have a car, so the people agreed to buy a car. So they contributed money, 5 million. One of them said, if we buy this malam, this car, he will run. He will run away, he will come here again. Why? But you drive a car. You drive a nice car. The imam should not drive a nice car. What if the imam had gotten the car by himself? You know that he will not run away. One of them said, oh no, if we buy this car, it will be like us. Yeah, in this cabinet. So it is how you present yourself, O Ikhwan. Don't present yourself kuja cheap. Because what you are with is not cheap. What you are with is not cheap. One of the companions of the Prophet was reading the Quran, and the angel was descending as if it wants to put its mouth into the mouth of the companion. You read the hadith? It's from the karamat of the companions. So angel is coming to put his mouth to your mouth, it's a dirty mouth. How is that? Dirty clothes. Well, not well dressed. The environment is dirty. No. So that's not zuhud. All those things, they are not zuhud. We are in torn clothes. It's not zuhud. Nice neat one. White. If you have the opportunity. The best jaladiya. Not even the one they are bringing from kind. Why are they calling it Gargaji or what? Eh? No gumama. I feel. From the most expensive jalabiyas is afil or drosh. Those are the kind of things you should wear. Even your inners should be drosh, up and down, white, neat. So the malams are not cheap. The malams they should not be cheap in the first place. See, you have opportunity to drive Bibu, drive it. You have opportunity to drive BMW, drive it. The companions had nice rides too. Radiallahu anhum. So there is nothing, zuhud is to follow the Allah's messenger. Alayhi salam. So any equivalent of what you can say, he used to do like this. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in that hadith of Jibreel, in his own riwayah, in Sunan Abi Dawud, he said, when the Prophet ﷺ sat amidst them, if a visitor comes, you'll be asking, where is the Prophet now? Who is the Prophet amongst you? And so we told him, O Messenger of Allah, let us make a height for you, where you'll be sitting, and let us make a floor covering. What is it called? This floor covering for you. So you will sit there, when they come, they know that this is the Prophet. So they did that. It was upon that thing, it was in that area that the Prophet was sitting when Jibreel came. So when Jibreel came, this is not a riwayah of Muslim, but it's a riwayah of Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Nasa'i. He did not climb directly on top of the foot covering, on top of the rug, so to speak. Jibreel did not. He stood at the tip of the rug. So he said to him, Ya Muhammad, A'adni? He said, should I come close? He said, come close. So because what you hear that Hatta Jalasa, this Hatta has cut some things away. It was not that he came and he was climbing the people. No, he was asking, Ya Muhammad Adi, should I come close? He said, should I come close? He said, come close. Should I come close? He said, Hatta Jalasa in the Nabi. Rog, Dediao. Nice place. That anybody who came will know that this is from. If not, if it is a dirty place, the cloth, white cloth that Jibril is wearing, will it not be stained? Will it not be stained? Is he not the one who told us ilbasu means siyabikum ilbayab? Wear white. How can we be wearing white when it's dirty? He be telling us wear white. He knows when we wear white, we'll keep us from death. Is it not so? Naturally, anybody wearing white does not like to stay near dirty things. Our deen is not a dirty religion. We'll read that hadith, I think, next week or so. At-tuhuru shatrul iman. A part of our Islam, a part of our iman is to be neat, clean. And when he sent water, he was describing, he said, وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَاهِرٌ مُطَهِرٌ. So all those things they are doing is not Islam. They should look for what they will attach it to, not Islam. According to the limits of everybody. Last question, inshallah. That question on Zuhud annoyed me. Not at the question, but at the way people consider Zuhud itself. Allahu Alam. So many people will be thinking that they are doing zuhud, they will get reward on the day of Qiyamah. When they reach on the day of Qiyamah, nothing for them. And they would have punished themselves when they were in the service of that. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ السَّمْعَ عَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. She didn't embezzle it. She was a bank chief.
I know. You said that the last provision for her is just for her to repent and
become a Muslim.
Become a Muslim. If she embraced Islam, then what about those people that she has already denied them their rights?
The government has taken the money already now. Allah has helped her, that government has taken the money. It is not her own problem again. Government has taken it. Do you understand? So the matter is between those people and government. For her, put it to government. Government is now used to it. That was the reason why they took it. They say it was the money of depositors and the creditors.
If the government fails to return back the
money, it is not her own problem again. So that's why it is easy for her now, if she repents, it should be from the nice things, nicest things. In fact, the best thing that would have happened to her in her life is to repent now. Subhanallah. How I wish this woman will repent. Someone like her become a Muslim, she will be honored in this dunya and akhirah. She will see what her eyes have never seen. Wa alaykum as-salam. Go on, please.
Out of frustration that one cannot secure a job, everyone has they have been there for a very long time and there is no means of livelihood, and there may be that person now got maybe a bank
job. He didn't get a bank job. That is one. The second thing is that it is, I don't believe, people usually say, but me, I don't believe it, that he looked for a job he didn't see. I don't believe it. I have a friend, when he finished the polling, he had an HND. He didn't get a job. He started selling pure water, Zamzam water. It is from that pure water he got a house, 3-bedroom flat. He rugged it for A to Z. I was in university at the time. He rugged it, he married, he get car, he stopped doing it, he employed people. He became director, CEO, pure water factory. But the problem is that the Boko and the way we are taught in the Boko institutions make us feel that we are too big to do something. Make us feel that we are too big. If not, if someone brings the kind of knowledge that he has acquired there to some little things, you see, he will do those things better than the way some people are doing it. But he's already been told that you should be wearing tie. They say it's white collar job, red collar. He's been giving false impression about himself. Arrogance and all of that is being imbued into him. So he will not see those things as job. When they tell him, please do the same me, after HND, kind of matter if you have a changing income. Me, after BSc, after my MSc, do you think I should now be? So what? Heaven will fall because you want to do a job. Or me, after PhD, so me, after traveling all through the world, now I should now come and start doing, do it if you need to do it. So it means the case of Darura is not established. Because you do not resort to Darura except there is no alternative. Once there is alternative, whether you like the alternative or you don't like the alternative, you must stick to the alternative. You must not start saying that Ab Darura to the Holy Mahdura. You don't say that until you can't find alternative. That's when you start saying Darura. And even at that, to cut Darura, because the Riha. So all these things we are talking, you will rent big house, you rent, buy cat, you will not buy cow, you will not buy cow. The one who Darura carries to bank, even when we believe, I believe that it's not possible. But Darura, let's say, theoretically, makes him now work in the bank. He will not drive any car. He will be walking on his feet. He will not eat 3 times a day. He will only eat once a day so that he will not die. Everything he will be spending from that money will be things that he needs absolutely. But look at them. Once they, it is Darura, they say, carry them to the bank. Oh, they start enjoying that Darura. You buy a car, buy the boots, buy end of discussion, rent big house. They start looking for what to do with the money. Do you understand, my brother? Jazakallah khair. Akulu ma akulu hadha wa astaghfiru lahi wa lakum. Subhanaka Allahumma alhamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Ameen.
What do you mean by it? Abu Aisha. Okay.